Fred Film Radio, Locarno Film Festival, Switzerland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 70th Locarno Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by the one and only the filmmaker Ben Russell, who is presenting his film Good Luck here at the festival. So thank you very much for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Right, so the first question is kind of the obligatory question. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about the movie? Just introduce it and tell them as much as you'd like about the film.
Good Luck is a non-fiction portrait of two mining communities that are on opposite sides of the world. So half of the film is shot in an underground copper mine in Serbia, and the other half is shot in an illegal gold mine in Suriname. And it's as much about mining as it is about the men who are sort of involved in the production of minerals.
Yeah. Any particular reason for this particular topic, especially the mining one?
I mean, we're all implicated in it. Yeah. You know, so it seems like getting to the source of where everything that we have comes from and figuring out who's behind it and how these practices are happening.
When you say we're all implicated in it, you mean gold in particular, or?
The mine in Serbia is a copper mine, and the mine in Suriname is a gold mine. And so there's, most of us wear gold for decoration, and all of us use copper in our everyday.
Yeah. Also, like, these mines are set in particularly hostile environments, so that's also quite important.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going to Suriname for about 20 years, and I'm fluent in one of the languages that they speak there, and I've known a mining community there since, I guess I first went there about 10 years ago. So I'd wanted to make a film with those guys, mostly because I was really excited about how friendly and warm and generous they were in sort of as in counterpoint to the conditions that they were working in, which are difficult and dangerous and toxic.
It must also be difficult to film there.
I mean, I don't know, compared to other... I mean, it's really hot.
Yeah. But,
even
in Serbia, too, I mean, it looks like... I mean, you could go right down there. And one of the things that I really liked about this particular part of the movie is that you literally take us there with the cameras, the really long shot of you going down and then walking in, and it just goes on, and you really take in the atmosphere. But what was it like for you? I mean, how many people were there to assist you? Was it just you with the camera?
I work with a really small crew, so I had three people with me. I had a camera assistant, a steadicam operator sometimes, and a sound recordist. And it feels like for the kind of documentary nonfiction work that I'm making, it's important to have a small group so that we're creating as little of an impact as possible, but also so that we're able to have as much of a direct relation with the people we're working with.
And is there any sort of preparation on your part when you go down to these places?
Well, like I said, Suriname I've been going to for a long time, so I'd been to that particular mine, I think, three or four times before I went to film, and the preparation is just, I don't know, trying to be open and generous, and it helps to accept and acknowledge that the conditions are, that it's so much worse for the people who are working there than it is for me, who has a nice bed to go back to and who can get on a flight to go back to the country that I come from. I mean, it's these guys are, they're there all the time, and it's not for years, decades. So
that's interesting to me, because when I look at documentaries like these, I wonder, are the protagonists of the documentary themselves, in this case the miners and, you know, people looking for gold, do they realize that these stories and these, you know, their lives are actually interesting, and do they understand why you're making a movie about it?
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, in this moment where most people have access to social media or a cell phone so that they can kind of produce images of themselves, I think a sense of what humans are as images has increased, and there is more of an affinity towards that. But in the case of Serbia, that mine was communist socialist, and in the 60s and 70s had its own newspaper, it had its own TV station. There are lots of films made there. There's a Dusan Makaveyev film that was made there. So I think the men seem to be very conscious of their sort of value or significance as labor subjects. And in Suriname, like I said, I've been going there for a while, and I've been making films there, and these guys have seen my films, so they kind of understand, at least through me, contextually what this thing is. But most people, I think, imagine that their own lives have relevance.
And then I should mention as well that you make use of these shots, these close-ups, in which some of them look right at the camera. Can you explain them to me?
Yeah, I mean, the film is less a portrait of individuals and more a portrait of a community, but communities are always built up of a bunch of humans. And so I was trying to find a way to give them a bit more space and breath from this kind of constant hum of labor that's happening in the mines. So I set up, kind of taking my hints from Andy Warhol, set up a camera and asked these men to basically just film themselves, to sit in front of the camera, turn the camera on for about a minute or so, and then the next one would come, and I asked them just to look into the lens. And so there's nobody behind the camera; it's just these men looking at themselves or looking at us or in some capacity. And then I also work on film, and so these portraits are shot on black and white, and then they're hand processed on location. So
actually, yeah, let's get into that. I know the process itself is very fascinating. Could you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, I've been making films for a while, and I started in video, but decided now that everybody constantly talks about the death of film, it feels like one should keep making films until you can't make them anymore. But it's quite similar actually to any other kind of image capture. It just, you have maybe less time to work with, and the material's a bit heavier, you know. So for me, it really helps me make better decisions about what to shoot and how to shoot, and it asks me to take my time in filming things. But the black and white portraits, because they're shot on black and white film, it means that you can process and develop the film by hand. So in Serbia, I took the film of these men and then processed it in buckets in the apartment I was staying in.
Well, I certainly love the texture of film. I mean, is that part of the reason why you choose to shoot with film? The texture itself of the...
Yeah, I mean, there's... film has a grain structure that's, like, fundamentally chaotic, and so it's not predictive, whereas digital technologies have the same... pixels are in the same place for every image, so there's always a kind of movement that happens within the image, which is the image, but is actually just the film.
I mean, I also like the scratches as well, like the texture. That's what I meant by the texture.
Yeah, the scratches, that actually happens because I'm taking this film, taking like 400 feet or 200 feet of film and putting it into a bucket, and as it's being processed, it rubs up against itself and bits of emulsion come off and other things. So what you're seeing is actually the trace of my hand processing these things, which felt like a nice corollary to this kind of mechanical and handmade processes that are happening in these mines.
You do it all yourself?
Yeah. I mean, that's
pretty cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
Anyways, we have to go. We're out of time. But thanks very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking to you.
Sure, great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Just remind our listeners that your film is called Good Luck, and that this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.